Listen, if you've had that opportunity, and it is an opportunity that not many get, that you're raised in a home, a Christian home, that you know, doesn't particularly concentrate on the things of the world, that's kept you from a lot of things in life. A lot of parents are afraid to keep their children from something, like they're going to miss out. And that's not so. I was not given such a privilege to be sheltered by the grace of God and by the Word of God, and to be brought up that way. Boy, I sure wished I had a been. I sure wished I had a been. And I hope my children do a better job with their children, even than I've been able to do with them, in sheltering their children from the things of the world. And they're going to need all the help from God they can get, because, well, the Christian life, as you know, is not a popular life. And it's laughed at, scoffed at, and there's even a lot of people in church don't think much about a real separated Christian life. But there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it on the face of the earth, that you know, to be kept from these things of the world and the sins of the world. Listen, our children's minds need to be protected from so much. Our kids in this generation, they know way more than they need to know. Way more than they should know. You know, they're wanting to teach our children about things that, Lord have mercy, I didn't even know existed until I was 16, 17 year old. They're wanting to teach them in kindergarten, Brother Ronnie. And all that is they're trying to scar their innocent minds. Yeah. And trying to numb their minds to acceptance of perversion as normal. As normal. To where they don't blush. Thank God for somebody that still knows how to blush. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter number 4. The book of Daniel, chapter 4. And I truly desire your prayers today, that the Lord would help me to bring out in this that God would have me to bring out. Daniel, chapter number 4. And There's a lot to be said, but I want to get to where we're reading and take the thought, and then we'll give the introduction and the message. Verse 19, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. And then he begins to give the interpretation. I want to go back and look at verse number 22 to take the thought. When Daniel had been given this interpretation of a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had had, the king of Babylon, he had had several dreams in the book of Daniel, and each time Daniel was given the wisdom by God to interpret those dreams, to find out what it meant. And so Daniel is given another dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and that he had dreamed of a big tree whose branches reached to the heaven. And of course, he tells Daniel the dream. And Daniel gets the interpretation of the dream, and he begins to expound the dream again to the king. And he said, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, the height reached unto the heaven. In verse 22, he said, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, thy dominion to the end of the earth. What I want to preach about this morning, and I want to take a little bit of a turn to what Daniel meant when he said, thy greatness is grown. And I want to preach on that thought. Greatness is grown. Greatness is grown. When you think about the nation that we live in, and even the world that we live in, there have been some great men that have stood upon this earth. And whether they realized it or not, the greatness that they may have had in their life was given them by God. You see, it is God that makes someone great. I mean, when you talk about having a great life, or that great, someone is great in their life, or accomplishes something great in their life, that greatness grows. And it does grow like a tree. But that greatness, again, has to be grown. In other words, it has to be nurtured. There are things that you and I, as people, must do for our children to help greatness grow in their life. If we have a friend to grow greatness in their life, and even in our lives, if we must allow greatness to grow in our lives, there must be things that nurture our life to cause it to grow. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, he had greatness, and it did grow. And it grew to the heaven, only to be cut down. Now, he had a kingdom to do something with, and it was given to him. You think about that, of all the men of the earth, how did this man, Nebuchadnezzar, come to have the kingdom of Babylon? He had the kingdom, the Bible said, the interpretation of it, when Daniel gave it, he said that it reached to the heaven. He said the sight thereof to all the earth. There was nowhere that Babylon didn't expand to.
And he also said, the tree thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached the heaven and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair and the fruit thereof much. And it was, in it was meat for all. There was enough in Babylon, are you hissing? You hear me? To supply the nations known in the world. They went about and conquered and brought nations to them, the best of the nations to them. Babylon was one of the great wonders of the world. Its hanging gardens where Nebuchadnezzar lived was known as one of the magnificent features and wonders of the world. No wonder the dream interpreted that it had reached to the heaven. It is one of those nations, one of those areas, one of those kingdoms that shall never be forgotten. It was the head of gold in the vision of the metallic man. Gold flourished everywhere through the kingdom of Babylon. There was so much gold. But it also, not only did the fruit, there was meat for all under it, and the beast of the field dwell. The branches, the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. Everyone in creation was touched by the width and the breadth and the height of Babylon. Those in the Far East knew what a Babylonian garment and a Babylonian piece of gold was. The height of his kingdom. And this one man was given that kingdom. Given that power. Given that authority. Listen, God says right here in the book of Daniel that God is the one that sets up kings and brings down kings. He sets up nations and brings down nations. It is God that makes someone great. Listen, if you truly want to do something great in your life, you must have God in your life. You must recognize the authority of God Almighty. The men that were presidents of our United States, that were our greatest, were men that truly recognized God, that recognized the Bible as the light of the way. Are you listening to me? It was the moral compass of a generation of men that this nation has seemed to want to forget about. That he had this great kingdom. Now I'm talking about greatness is grown. I mean, he said in verse number 4 that he was there and he was flourishing in his palace. Flourishing in his palace. I mean, you talk about a man who is blessed with so much, and he was flourishing. But look all around him. I want us to look around him at what made his nation great and what could have kept him great. And he was bound to fall, and he was bound to fall. Why? Because of his own pride. And you can read in this chapter where he began to think about himself as the tree and being expanded, and he began to give himself the credit and not God. Even though he knew that Daniel was a man in whom the spirit of the gods dwelled, is the way he said it. He knew that Daniel's God was different. And he recognized that, but when it come to his kingdom, he did not want to give God any credit. And it was that same God that brought him down from a tree to a stump. Brought him from being the king of the greatest and the strongest kingdom on the earth down to a man with the heart of a beast. Eating straw in a field. So where was the greatness that is grown? Where is greatness grown? I want to say, first of all, greatness, if a man has greatness or a woman, greatness in their life, it's grown, is surrounded by greatness. Verse number 8, look at verse number 8. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the vision of my dream. Listen, he was surrounded by greatness. Daniel was one of the greatest prophets that God had ever put among the children of Israel. And here, this king had, he had hands on for Daniel. He didn't even know Daniel at the beginning of the book until the first dream had been interpreted. Somebody had heard. There was a man of the Hebrew that could interpret dreams and understand visions. And Daniel did exactly that for him the very first time. When all of his wise men, when all the great men of the earth. You see, greatness is not the wisdom of men. Greatness is not in titles of men. They can say president, king, prince, ambassador, but only God in a man's life truly makes him great and a great counselor. A man can be surrounded by idiots. Just look. Look up there. Look up. Look at the heads of most governments today trying to find the direction for their people. They're surrounded by idiots. Surrounded by fools that don't believe in God even. Lord, have mercy. That's not wisdom, to surround yourself with people like that. So, greatness is grown, and it's grown by being surrounded by greatness. Listen, parents, if you want your children to be great, surround them by other great children. If you want them to be worldly, surround them by worldly children. If you want them to be naked, surround them around naked children. If you want them to be dumb, let them run around with dumb children. Are you listening to me? If you want them to be a dope smoker, let them hang around dope smokers. It's who you surround them with. That's exactly who they're going to be like. Surround your children with greatness. Amen. Surround them. I like to keep my children around preachers, men of God and women of God and other families that want to try to strive to live for the Lord. Are you listening to me? And we have other people in our lives that we love and care about, but we don't. Listen, it's nothing. It's not because we don't love them. We want to surround. You need to surround your children with greatness. Show them what greatness is. Amen? Show them. Greatness is grown. Surely we all have that desire to see them be great. The world wants their boys to be the quarterback. They want their daughters to be the head cheerleader. Are you listening to me? I mean, they want them to succeed to some kind of moral greatness. We want them to be, you know, presidents, and we want them to be the chief of the police department. Not today, they don't, but you know what I'm saying? You want them to excel. You want them to be great, a doctor or a lawyer. An astronaut. We want to see them do great things and be great. But listen, looking at greatness is not looking at them through the fleshly eyes of morality. It's finding a spiritual pan, a light. Are you listening to me? That guides. That is your moral compass. What is that? It's the Word of God. The Word of God tells us how to surround ourselves with greatness. You surround yourself with greatness. He had greatness surrounded by him by having Daniel in his life. Greatness is counseled. Verse number 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. Daniel was invested in counseling the king's life. Verse number 27, he said, "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee." Greatness is counseled. Listen, greatness doesn't step out on its own. Greatness is counseled. I mean, listen, there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. People today, they don't want counsel. They want somebody that thinks like them. They don't want godly counsel. They want somebody to tell them what they want to hear. And that's exactly the way the Hebrews were. They told those men of God, "Don't tell us these things. Tell us smooth things. Prophesy smooth things. Tell us things we want to hear." That's what they did in Isaiah's day, Jeremiah's day, and many other men of God's day. Hey, listen, counsel is telling you what God wants you to hear. It's counseled. It's counseled. And it's in the mind working. In verse number 5, at the beginning of the chapter, Nebuchadnezzar in verse 4 was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid. He should have stayed afraid. And the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. God wanted him troubled. Listen, there are some times if our life is going in a certain direction, we should be troubled. That's God trying to say, hey, quit going that way. Quit going in that direction. God's trying to trouble us. Amen. I mean, listen, it begins in your mind working. Listen, that's great. That's God trying to make you great by troubling your mind. A mind that can never hear the voice of God, the Spirit of God, or His reasoning through His Word, listen, is not a mind that's headed for greatness. Wisdom, listen, great wisdom is by the fear of the Lord. It is the beginning of wisdom. It is through this book, and you never doubt it. It is through this book that any man has gained wisdom from God in the years gone by. Now, I've said it, and you can look back on history. Generation after generation was not much more different after God showed men by His own counsel how to do certain things. We find in the book of Genesis, we find in the book of Deuteronomy, first 5 books, the Pentateuch, that God showed man how to set stones, how to make iron, how to weave cloth, how to factor. God gave man wisdom to do certain things. When our forefathers brought this Bible, this 1611 King James Bible, to the United States, things in the world began to change. And they began to change right from here. Why? Because the Scripture says in the book of Psalms, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." It is God's word, Brother Ronnie, that will give a man any amount of intellect and wisdom that God would want him to have. You could stand, listen to me, above presidents and ambassadors of the world if you know the wisdom of God. Amen? And give correct divine counsel. Counsel that doesn't come from carnality and flesh and pride, but counsel that comes from the other world. That's where Daniel was getting his counsel from. That's where Daniel had his wisdom from, was from the other world, from the heavenly world. And it was working in his mind. Listen, greatness knows true wisdom is of God. Wise men of the earth cannot solve men's problems. Look here in chapter 4. And verse 13. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus. Listen, in verse number 7, then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they could not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. Every astrologer, magician, counselor, wise man that he had in all the kingdom of Babylon could not tell him what the dream was. It was going to take a spiritual man. Or it was going to take someone from another world. That was that watcher that came. That watcher that came, he was like an angel. Like an holy one, he said. A watcher and a holy one. It wasn't Michael, because over in the book of Daniel chapter number 10, there's a watcher mentioned there. And he said, Michael had to come to my aid when I was coming to you, Daniel. Daniel, when he had described him, he said he was like a man. He's made in the image of God. That's who he saw. And he called him a watcher. Whether he's a seraphim or a cherubim, I don't know. But he is one of those heavenly beings that is an agent of God, that comes to disperse the answers and the wisdom that God would have him to have. God tried to give him that, tried to give Nebuchadnezzar that. Nebuchadnezzar still was incapable, as much as his men were incapable of letting him know what it meant, he was incapable of giving God glory for the kingdom. He was so lifted up with pride. His tree branches were to the height, and God said he's going to be cut down. You see, God controls life. God says whether I'm going to walk tomorrow or not. God says whether I'm going to breathe tomorrow or not. God says whether I'm going to see tomorrow or not. Never take for granted the life that you have. Because everything you have has been given you by God. Whether you honor that or not. True wisdom and greatness, listen, it recognizes God. What is life apart from recognizing God's glory? Listen, Nebuchadnezzar was king, but I'm talking about the King of Kings. The God of heaven. The Creator of everything. What is life apart from recognizing God's wisdom in your life and for your life? It's not God's will that you perish. It's God's will that you be saved. You are to take God's wisdom on that. To come to His Son. To come back to God. Recognizing God is returning to God. Amen? Greatness, again, is recognizing God. and recognizing God is returning to God. Your first step to true greatness is to return to God. Be saved if you're not saved. You'll never be truly great apart from salvation. You can never find it. Life outside of returning to Him and recognizing His sovereignty in your life. Listen, God gave me this in the middle of the night last night. Is a life of flesh and carnality. Verse 15 and 16, He said that when He told him about the interpretation of the tree, which was Nebuchadnezzar, He said, nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, and in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. And that very thing happened to him in verse 23 and 24. God told him that's what's going to happen. A heart of a beast instead of a heart of a man. So not recognizing God and returning to God. Listen, that carnal life is as low as living as a beast of the field and no use to him. This man could have been used greatly of God with the kingdom that God gave him. He could have been a help to God's people in going back to Jerusalem, back to Canaan. He could have recognized God fully through Daniel. And he could see it. He said he could see it. There was something that he still had his own gods. Not recognizing God's sovereignty in your life is living a life of flesh and carnality as low as the beast of the field. And it's of no use to him. He was not going to be king anymore. He was going to be like the beast of the field. Out there with his hair growing, wet with the dew of heaven, his fingernails growing like that of an eagle, chewing on straw just like an ox, and his servants and his people all saw the great king out there walking around on all fours, grunting, groaning and growling and eating straw. His mind, his heart was like that of a beast. Greatness is in a pure heart. We must draw the line. Listen. Nebuchadnezzar should have done this, and he'd have done this, he could have seen great greatness. We must draw the line between God and everyone else. Are you listening to me? God is not equal with anybody in your life, in my life. He's first. Let family know who God is and why He's first and not them. Amen? If they choose to go on and live like dogs and pigs, the Bible said the dog returned to his vomit and the sow to the mire again. If people don't want to live the way God would have them to live, Lord have mercy, so be it. You let them know you don't live in the hog pen anymore. Hey, let them know God's first in your life. Listen, if your family shows up, Sunday comes around, you let them know on Sunday you'll be at the house of God. Some of us, we may not wonder why our people are not saved or living for God. Well, they don't see us putting Him first. If they don't see God first in our life, He's just someone we come to and get around when things are bad and when company's not in. Amen? Let people know. Let people know what the world know. God is first in your life. Put God first in everything. Put Him first when it comes to your will, to your answers, to the direction in your life. God said, seek Him first. Everything else will be added unto. We have a hard problem putting God first, and that's why we have a hard problem seeing true greatness in our own lives. Greatness can be taken. And no doubt He was great. God can bless your life. God blesses people's lives all the time. And He can curse it. He put this king, after all that God blessed him with, He put him out there in the field. Why? Because he wouldn't honor God. There was a king in the New Testament stood before the Christians and everybody else, and they began to cry, "He has the voice of a God." Boy, his heart got lifted up with pride. And you know what God did? God let the worms eat him up while he stood on his feet. That was God saying, "I share my glory with no man." There's your God. He's a worm-eating infestation. Amen? Outside of the greatness of God in our life, listen, there is no greatness. There is no blessed life. There is no true, are you listening to me? True love, true peace, true greatness, true giving of anything that matters outside of God. Nebuchadnezzar, thy greatness is grown. He could have kept growing. And it had been grown. It had been nurtured. What are we doing to nurture greatness in our family's life? I mean, to true greatness. And listen, don't drop your head and say, "Oh, all everybody's just a failure." Not in Christ. Not in Christ. This world is so eat up, messed up with emotion, and the devil's got them convinced there's no way they could ever be anything to amount to anything. In Christ, you can do all things. Amen. That's what Paul said. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. No, you're only a failure when you fail to let Christ rule your life and not bring greatness. Listen, letting Christ walk through your life, that's true greatness. Yeah. It can't get no greater than that. To have Christ in your life? Are you kidding me? To have the perfect one? Yes, sir. To have He that is sinless? To have the Savior? Amen. That died for me, living in me, living through me? That's greatness. That's greatness in your life. Don't smother His greatness. Don't reject His greatness. If you're not saved, He desires to sup with you. Don't reject His greatness. What a Savior. What a Lord. What a master. The only difference between Belshazzar and Belteshazzar was God. Belshazzar was a king. Belteshazzar, the name given to him by the king. It was given to him by the king because it was, he said, one of the names of one of the gods that he served. He wanted to call Daniel Belteshazzar. It sounded like his name too. I think he kind of envied Daniel. His third in charge. He was over all the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans. The only person that Daniel wasn't over was Belshazzar's son and then grandson who would reign after him. And he was next. Why? God. God made Daniel great. In the very beginning of the book of Daniel, there were three Hebrew boys. They were in a fix. Daniel said, boys, let's talk to God. Let's talk to God about this. Let's find out if God's got anything to say about this. See, Daniel, he went directly to God. Before he was ever anything. Look how great. You and I wouldn't have never even known Daniel. His life, just always seeking God, put him to greatness. Put him to greatness. Got him out of a lion's den. When everybody thought he'd be eaten alive. Greatness. There wasn't hardly anything, I don't think, that God wouldn't do for Daniel. Greatness. You honor God, God will honor you. David said this. There's a verse that used to really catch my attention. I wished I could quote it to you. But David talked about how that God would exalt him in the eyes of his men. Exalt him in the eyes of them around him. Why? Just because of his relationship with God. There never was a king loved like David. Not in Israel. Never was. Greatness has grown. What are you going to do to grow greatness? Listen, it's not something we think about one week and then forget about. It's a constant life of walking with the Lord and going to Him and letting Him build greatness in your life. Amen. I want you to stand. Bless your heart.